Did you ever think that if you only loved him more, that he would change? Even when a friend told her that he's not an alpha, he's a narcissist, our guest told her, "You just don't understand. He's never had the love of the right woman." Dynamic, outgoing, and confident, Cammie Baker went from standing on stages of 30,000 teaching others how to show up and network to hanging her head down and hiding. She fell for his virility, take charge attitude, his charm, and the attention he gave her. She didn't know then how her life would, within only 6 months, dramatically changed. Soon, she'd be in her car with all of her belongings, wondering just what had happened. Her story will keep you on edge. Hi, I'm Rosie Aiello, and welcome to the Vulnerable to Valuable podcast. We talk about moving forward after experiencing narcissistic, controlling, demeaning, and abusive relationships. If you've been in one of those, like me, you know what I'm talking about. You're not alone. You've been through some painful stuff, shame, blame, that inner bully inside you. My mission is to lift and inspire you, give you the ways you can reclaim your voice and value, your confidence, and the courage to be the new, empowered you. Today we meet Cammie Baker. She gets vulnerable as she shares from her heart how a romance packed with love bombing sucked her soul and how she came out the other end, more empowered and confident than ever before. Accepting what was, she decided to put her big girl panties on, learn the lessons, and become a better person of it. Her story is inspiring and her turnaround is impressive. We're going to talk with Cammie in a moment. And first, I'm sharing a mini masterclass from the 11 Freedom Fulfillment Pillars. In every episode, I pull a theme or two from the interview to share my insights into one or more of these pillars. If you want to hear all of the pillars, go to episode one or two. For today's episode, I'm going to be talking about love bombing. For that, I'll be teaching from the principles from pillar three, which is about values, and pillar nine, tapping into your intuition. First, let me define briefly what love bombing is. When I arrived back in the United States after my escape, I realized just how much I didn't know. I didn't know much about the terms domestic violence or domestic abuse, narcissist, sociopath, psychopath. Heavens, this was crazy. I'm a regular girl from a small town in California. How did I end up with all of that in my vocabulary? Well, you could say it started with love bombing, another term I had no clue about when I first started to date my now ex-husband. He took me out for lovely dinners, took me shopping to buy clothes. He invited me to go to Paris for a weekend, although I didn't go. After we were married, we went to wonderful vacations and nice hotels. He bought me gold and diamond jewelry. He swooned me with his words before we were married. I got sucked in. Did you get sucked in too? Also like my guest? You're not alone. It's normal to want love, attention, affection, connection. This is not the time to beat yourself up. Actually, it's never the time to beat yourself up. So following the love and pillars, I never got sucked into love bombing again. So just how do you not get sucked into love bombing? You learn to know exactly who you are and what you want and expect and deserve. Let's start with pillar number three, the values. I just can't emphasize the importance of values. If a woman or if women like our guest, Cammie and me, had known from the outset what was truly important to us, not what you or I had maliciously thought what was important to us, we would have never entered or stayed in a relationship. Let me just tell you that kindness is now my primary value. And you'll end up with a lot of values. Narrow them down to the top 10. You know, if you're like me, you just kind of pick them up like seashells. But I never really knew what was important to me. I just never looked at it. So that's what I encourage you to do, to really look at your values, because you end up with a lot of values. And sure, I like gifts and nice dinners and vacations like anyone would, but not at the cost of someone demeaning me. Never. So even if someone is kind to you some of the times, but the other times they put you down, they belittle you, that is not a sign of a healthy relationship. So while you are getting sucked into all the kindness and the gifts and the flattery, and they really love bomb you, meaning they're just pouring it onto you all the time. And it's like, wow, this guy is really into me. And then he's got you. And we're going to hear a little bit later on when you'll hear the words that he says to Cammy. So remember this. But remember, no matter what, no matter how sweet, how kind they are at one moment, if they are demeaning you, putting you down, ridiculing you, threatening you, that is not acceptable ever. And those are not signs of a healthy relationship. So practicing your value takes awareness and work. When is the last time you looked at yours? So the second part I wanted to address when it came to love bombing is pillar number 9, which covers listening to your intuition. So for me, I never looked at my values and I never listened to my intuition. I mean, it's like, I think I knew the word intuition, but I really didn't know what it was. And I'm being fully vulnerable with you sharing this because it's the truth. You know, maybe having worked in the corporate world surrounded by men, using my intuition was never in my radar. I was just completely unaware. I had no idea what it was or how to tap into it. So for you, you don't have to suffer as long as I did. Oh, for heaven's sakes, no. So how do you listen to your intuition? No, I'm just going to give you four quick ways, you know, four simple ways you can, but there's much more, but this will get you started. First of all, just get quiet with yourself. Boy, I don't know about you, but my mind goes on a lot. Just get quiet. Maybe you can, you know, meditate to get into a calm state, nice calm state, and then just start listening to your body. So pay attention to what your body is telling you. So the first one is get quiet with yourself. 2, meditate to get into a calm state. 3, listen to your body. 4, pay attention to what your body is telling you. That's just like the very, 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 very beginning of just starting to tap into your intuition. But just start there. I mean, it will take you far. So I'm going to guess if you were like me, even though many times the relationship felt great, you also had some feeling that something wasn't quite right. So what I want you to do is pay attention to that it isn't quite right feeling. Just because it's not clear doesn't mean it's not important. Okay, I'm going to say that again. Just because that feeling, right, that feeling is not clear doesn't mean it doesn't have value, doesn't mean it's not important. You got this. Gave me some really good starts here. So because I didn't listen to my values, because I didn't know my values or listen to my intuition, I couldn't have healthy boundaries. Now that's a topic for another time, but they're all integrated. As you listen to this, I want you to watch that you don't start slipping into self-judgment and criticism. You know, don't say, oh, I should have listened to my intuition. I thought that, okay, it's the past. Hey, the past is the past. We're just learning. Maybe you're just learning your lessons now. That's what we're doing here. All right. So please don't slip into, oh, I should have done that. That's not helpful. Okay. Just promise me that. All right. So for my ex-husband, I just ended up living to please him. Does that sound familiar? And listen in now as you hear what Cammy did to continuously try to please her man and what happened to her when she did. If you want to know where you are on this path, take the Freedom Fulfillment Quiz, my gift to you. In 4 short minutes, you'll discover where you are and where you want to be. Go to www.freedomfulfillmentquiz.com. That's freedomfulfillmentquiz.com. You can find this link and all other links mentioned in the show notes. TV show host, radio personality, international speaker, and HGTV House Hunter veteran, and featured on hundreds of podcasts, media, and stages as large as 30,000 in attendance, Cammie Baker has seen her share of adversities, starting as an alcoholic, suicidal, broke single mother living in a mobile home on food stamps. She knows what it is like to not only fall down, but to get back up. Cammie's recent experience with a narcissistic gaslighting relationship that had her start over again at 50 is an inspiring story of how it is not what happens to you as much as how you learn to put your big girl panties on and become better because of it. Cammie will be here in a moment. And first, thank you for downloading the Vulnerable to Valuable podcast produced by the Love is Kind Network. We're just starting out. Please subscribe. Every 5-star review on iTunes and every share will help our mission to reach and impact 100 million women worldwide who have been affected by narcissistic relationships and domestic abuse. Our goal is to create kinder intimate relationships, kinder families, kinder communities, and a kinder world. Will you help us achieve that goal? Now to the powerhouse Cammie Baker, who took a hard look at herself and pulled up her big girl panties to create a massive turnaround in her life. Let's go from vulnerable to valuable with Cammie.
I am so glad to have the opportunity to have this interview with you, because usually my interviews are all focused on business and lead generation and business building. So to really be able to speak from the heart about some things that weren't so pretty and some things that you actually helped me through and were a part of is really a blessing.
Well, thank you. And I think this is important as well, because we're one human being, and how we are by ourselves or personally, that's how we show up in business. If we're being crushed personally, being demeaned or controlled, or even the self-judgment, that's going to come out in how we behave in business.
As you know, I am the author of Mingle to Millions, and my book actually came out 2.5 years ago, just 2 months before I met the narcissist that we'll be discussing, and I put it down at the time to serve his needs. Since I left that relationship, I've really been able to tour and speak with my book. It's all about the art and science of building business relationships. Mm-hmm. So I ended up co-hosting this TV show for the last almost 2 years and mentoring and teaching and coaching a lot of people, men and women. So that's what I've been up to in the last couple of years since that relationship.
That is just so beautiful. And to see, you know, where what happened and how you transformed yourself, which is part of the process of this conversation as well. I knew you before, during, and after this relationship. And I remember, because we were sort of starting to see somebody almost at the same time, and yours accelerated at rapid speed and mine was kind of going like a snail. Tell us how it happened. Where were you? You wrote that I gave myself to a narcissist. And I'm going to kind of guess that you didn't know he was a narcissist then, but give us a background on how it all happened.
You know, it's funny. I thought he was an alpha that I thought I was looking for at the time. And one of the women who worked in his office said, Cammie, he's not an alpha. He's a narcissist. Mm. And I heard her, but I did not hear her. I just thought, my head was so in the clouds. I was like, oh, you just don't know. He just hasn't had the love of a right woman. Mm-hmm. So
those are important words, right? What you just shared there is very important, because women, this is a pattern I want women to be aware of, because I see it all the time. We make excuses for them. Okay, you said right at the beginning, the only love. You know, I didn't mean to interrupt, but that was such a key point. I wanted to point that out.
Well, and I've heard it said before, if there's something, and maybe you even told me this, if there's something that you are afraid or ashamed of saying to a friend, then that's what you need to be saying to the friend when it comes to these relationships. So I was doing online dating, and let me just preface this with, I could have met this guy at church. Mm-hmm. I could have met him in the grocery store. I could have met him picking out a puppy at the pet store. I do not blame this in online dating.
Right.
And I was on online dating, and I think I'm pretty damn fantastic. So let me just say, it's not about that. But I was doing online dating, and I had a couple of relationships, and I meet this guy. We are across country from each other. I'm on the East Coast. He's on the West Coast. And I think, well, we'll have the chance to get to know each other. But 10 days later, I flew out to meet him. And within 5 days, it was, I love you. You've got to be here. You have to move here. And I remember us taking this beautiful walk. And I said, you know, why don't I'll fly back and forth, you know, like once a month during the summer. This was in April. Mm-hmm. And I said, by the end of the summer, if this is working out, then maybe I'll move out then. And he was like, oh no, I've waited 50 years to meet you, to find my true love. And now that we've met, I don't want to live a day without you. And so 28 days after meeting him online, I sold everything I owned and put everything that was left in 3 big duffel bags and jumped on an airplane with him, flew a country to meet my friends. Oh my God, my friend, we had a big dinner and there were 20 people there that just thought he was wonderful. He's so charismatic. And on paper, he was perfect. He was, and physically, he was perfect. He looked the part. He spoke the part. He was a business owner. And what had happened was I had a series of really beta relationships, men that were yes, ma'am, and wishy-washy and ho-dee-do. And I had decided I want an alpha.
Right. I want a strong man.
I don't know what that really meant to me at the time, but what I do know is this person was total opposite of anything I had ever dated. And he was beautifully masculine physically, and he owned a company, and he was in control and throwing the money around when I went out to visit. And everybody in town either bought from him, sold from him, or worked for him. He owned the town.
Wow.
And there was a couple of people that right off the bat, as soon as I moved there, they were like, what are you doing here? Like, why are you in this little podunk town? And I was like, oh, I just love him. And I'd live anywhere to be with him. And it was just, I was so in love with the, not only the guy, but the whole situation. He bought and sold antiques and things. And it was just perfect for me. And in the beginning, it seemed that way. But I do have to say, there were red flags. So for those who are listening, what are some of those red flags? Right off the bat, when we were on the, so we were texting the first day, we were texting. And we had decided we were going to get on the phone. Now I'm excited. He's a new guy. He's beautiful. I want to get on the phone. But when he called me, my phone didn't ring for whatever reason. So he sends me a text that says, I call you and you don't even answer. Geesh. Now, this is somebody I've never even talked to. So right off the bat, he's irritated that he's not in control of my emotions.
And this is when you're still in the East Coast.
This was the first day we were texting.
Oh, the first day you were texting. Got it.
The first day we were texting, mm-hmm. we were deciding we were going to get on the phone and talk to each other. When he called, I didn't hear it ring. I don't know if I was in the bathroom or if the ringer was off or whatever.
It doesn't matter. You don't need to defend, right?
Right, right.
That's the whole thing, ladies. You don't need to defend your actions.
True that. So that was the first thing. And then later that week, before I even flew out there, there was a day I remember I was standing in my kitchen. I was telling him, you know, stories about my life. And I was telling him about this bar that I owned in Panama City Beach. And I'm going on about this story about owning this bar. And my business partner at the time was a man. So I mentioned the name and he, did you F him? And I said, what? as I'm telling you about a story about the bar that I owned that I was so proud of, he said, yeah, but did you F them? And I'm like, what does that have to do with anything? So right off the bat, there was massive jealousy and control and all of that. And then the day that that we were flying from East Coast to West Coast, we're together and we're on the plane and I've got my three suitcases. And I said to him, it's so surreal. I'm 49 years old and everything I own is in three bags on this plane. And he says to me, Angel, you've never owned more than you do right now. You own half of this kind of company and half of that kind of company and half of this and that. Talking about the things that he had.
Yeah.
So right off the bat, he was giving and it was all mine too. And it was just, And
right. They call that love bombing, you know? So that's kind of the term where it's just, it's all, and of course I had that too. I didn't know that term, but you know, where they just pour into you and you're almost put on a pedestal and everything is good and roses. It's like, and really, you know, it's like, wow, I want an independent man. I want a man who's strong. I'm going to be part of his company. He's involving me. These are all normally really positive things, right? And let me tell you, I knew Cammy from before. So, and when I've seen her on stage, you know, you don't forget Cammy when she's on stage. She's a powerful woman. So do you think this has anything to do with your intelligence?
You know, I appreciate you bringing that up because since it happened, people have said to me, including yourself, you should write a book about this because, you know, people don't expect someone like you, large and in charge, outspoken, clearly independent. You know, I mean, I'm an alcoholic. And when I figured out I was an alcoholic, I thought, wait a minute, I don't have the bottle in the bag and sitting under the railway and drinking, you know, had this image. Yes. And I also, my whole life had an image that women who would get caught up in this kind of stuff were frail and meek and mousy and easy to push over. That wasn't me, but you watched and it was starting to happen, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And this is, I so appreciate you being vulnerable, right? This is, you know, vulnerable to a valuable podcast. To be vulnerable, to reveal your story, because this is going to help so many and to show that you did find your value later on or you refound your value. But it also shows just how easy it is to get in this whirlwind because we're human beings and they know how to manipulate and use a situation for them. And so the other red flag was doing things super fast. This is another red flag. Oh, now I know there are people who've met and fell in love and got married and it lasted forever. But these have other signs, other red signs. But, you know, dropping everything, going to him, right? You were going to him. You did everything. Those were, and him saying, oh, I finally met the love of my life after 50 years.
It's true love.
It's like, feels right, right? So it's easy to get into this. And it has nothing to do with your intelligence. It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with them and how they present themselves and us being in a position where we want to be cared for. We want to be loved.
Well, I've even heard it said that, you know, this type, because he was super power, like the energy coming off of him, but it was because he was sucking the energy from everybody else. He's an energy vampire. And I've heard it said, well, of course he was looking for someone like you, because look at all the energy that you provided for him that he was able to take from that whole relationship. So, you know, if you're in a relationship like this, not only does it not mean that you're stupid or, you know, incapable of making good decisions, they actually want someone that's that powerful.
You learned a lot through this process and we worked together. I worked with you as you were going through this and helping point out the red flags. And we kind of went, you know, kind of went in and out. Again, this is a normal process. Some women can leave right away. Some, it takes you, there's that pull. Oh, if I could only love him. Remember you said in the very beginning, oh, I can just, he just hasn't had the love like that. And we have this belief that, oh, if I can just, you know, I can love him out of this behavior, which is false thinking. Were you able to express your needs and what you wanted, and how did he address that? And then how did that shift over time now?
So I laugh because, you know, I can't even imagine how it all came to be, but truly I lived to please him, and he really manipulated it around so that he would tell me that our relationship came even before our individual happiness. So my role was to make him happy, mm-hmm. was to satisfy his needs as a man.
Right.
And the twisted thing about that was his needs as a man were really, really great for me. But when it was daily and it was already implied that it was required, mm-hmm. I knew that there was going to come a point where I didn't want to do it every day. Mm-hmm. And the two times that he thought I was denying him, Lord, the world was coming to an end. It was nasty. So I knew there was going to come a day when I was going to say what I needed and wanted, which was maybe even a break for the night. And I knew it would be holy hell to pay. So I had zero boundaries with this person, absolutely mm-hmm. zero. And at first I thought, oh, thank God, I'm a powerful businesswoman. I'm always in control. I'm telling everybody else what to do all the time. Thank God I finally have a man who can make decisions and take the reins and be in control. So the very first time in 49 years that I finally decide, yes, I'm going to give it all to this man and let him just be in control. This is what happens.
What happened. Right. And there's a difference, right? There's a difference of just, you know, being with somebody who, you know, could just hold you up and take care of you, and somebody who's just going to, like, where you become mute. You've lost your authentic self. You don't even know where she went. She's long gone, and you just become this people pleaser. And it's a hard job to be a people pleaser, and hard job and an impossible job to make somebody else happy. That's not our role.
It's an impossible task to be a people pleaser when you grew up your whole life not being. I wasn't allowed to go to yoga because at first I couldn't go to yoga because men might be in the room. And if men were in the room and saw me bend over, he wouldn't like that. So when I first wanted to go to yoga and he said that, I said, are you telling me if I go to a yoga class and there's a man in the room that I should leave the yoga class? And he said, I'm just telling you to use your best judgment.
Yeah. So they couch it as an implied threat.
He never told me that I couldn't do anything, mm-hmm. but the implied consequences were always there. And then eventually it was that I wasn't supposed to go to yoga because if I went to yoga, other women are at yoga, they're going to want to be my friend and take me to lunch. Men, women always talk about men, and I'd be talking about him. This was another characteristic that whoever's listening should watch out for. He was so paranoid about me talking about him or us every day. Well, I finally left on my own accord because what you said about disappearing, and I invite you to share with our listeners and viewers what you saw of me. I felt like I was being sucked in. And eventually I was just going to exist in him and on him and for him and through him. There came a point where I just felt like I got to make a decision. I either totally give myself to this and just live to please him or get the F out. So what did you see?
I remember when, Rosie, you know, I'm going to be, he's going to have me part of his business, and I'm going to be part of his business, and I don't need my business. He says, you don't need your business. So there, I'm going to talk about it in parts here. So that was the first part. And I'm thinking, okay, I mean, because you had a business, right? You just mentioned you had just written that book. I thought, gosh, this is not the Cammy I know. And then you went on the road trip. Oh, I could do my business on the road. But then it's like, you never were doing it. There was always an excuse. And I'm going, what's happening to her? I could see you disappearing because this is not Cammy. Somebody else is creating her. She's just like you're evaporating. It was like the Cammy Baker I knew was evaporating before my eyes. And I felt a little helpless until I could, because I had to talk to you gently. So for you to be open to be able to hear what was happening to you. And it was a little bit scary for me because I wanted so much like to shake you and go, oh my God, this is too fast. He's not allowing you to be you. In a healthy relationship, you can ask for what you want. You have equal rights to, you know, you can please yourself. Of course, you're going to love them, but you don't give up any part of you. There's nothing about pleasing the other person at your cost.
Let me just say, when you say that the Cammie Baker was disappearing, I was going so far as to legally change my name for him. So he told me...
Before you got married. We did not tell the listeners that you got engaged.
Well, I can't say that we actually got engaged. He gave me his mother's engagement ring, which I ended up giving back to him.
Right.
But he would call me his angel. He said he could...
Right.
I was sitting in his lap one day and he saw the angel wings around my head and that I was just his angel. So he called me Angel all the time. And so I put that with his last name, which we won't say on here, and it made a really cool name. And I said, what if my name was Angel?
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, even though I was giving up my business and only doing his business, he wanted me to work because he wanted me to bring in money. But anytime I was talking to one of my coaching clients, he was always right there. And he said it was because he found it fascinating and he wanted to be a part of what I was doing and self-development was so important to him. But the fact is, he just didn't want me talking about him and he was so paranoid about it. So I was going to change my name to Angel, blah, blah. And then I let it go. I said, well, you know, it's a business name. It's kind of hard to do. 2 weeks later, he says, so I kind of like that. If we're going to change your name to that, we should do that before we start promoting you around here. And I was legally going to change my name to that before we got married. I started referring to myself as that. I got a website. I changed the cover of my book and had the other name put on it and all of that. And they were calling me that, all those people out there, this other name. So that's how much I was disappearing. And that was in only 3 months of being there.
Yeah, 3 months. That's what's so, so amazing. But then, you know, we started to have more conversations and you were saying, you know, you didn't have any boundaries. Everything was for him. Right? Everything was for him. And this is just like how we get sucked in this vortex because we think we can please them. It's like, what was so desperate about us, you know, and the feeling of looking at us. And now you've done something completely different. What boundaries, like now, if you're dating with a man and even with your colleagues, I want people to understand this doesn't happen. These narcissistic relationships and how you get sucked in and how you get in a controlling relationship or someone's demeaning you can happen anywhere. And just not in just an intimate relationship. It can happen with your coach. I've had a narcissistic coach. I've had a very abusive coach before. This is years ago. It can happen with your web designer. It can happen with your doctor, for God's sakes. It happens anywhere. People are human and there are a lot of them out there. What kind of boundaries did you create now to empower yourself that you can maybe share with our listeners?
You know, I really appreciate you bringing that up because at the time that I was with this person, I would literally just, as he would talk, I felt like I had so much to say, but I couldn't say anything. And I just physically...
You lost your voice, right?
Like literally physically for hours, I couldn't say anything. And that made him even more angry because I wouldn't talk. I had no boundaries. It was all about what he wanted to do sexually, where we went, who we hung out with. I wasn't allowed.
And you weren't hanging out with your friends, right? You weren't hanging out with
your friends. I wasn't allowed to talk to my friends on the phone. Now, once again,
that's isolation. They create the isolation.
He never said I couldn't. But what he did say was, why are you spending time away from me and us? It took us 50 years to find each other. What's so important about that you need to spend an hour away from me to be talking to them? Is this about business? Are you making money? So he would make me feel so guilty and shameful about talking to someone else that I just quit even bothering.
Exactly. You just kept giving up and giving up.
Giving up.
Because it was easier to do that, to create the peace and to prove that, you know, you loved him. This is how you were proving it. And you know, and it's like, okay. And he was dictating everything.
Well, I left at 3 months in. About a week after I left, we get on the phone, and long story short, I turned around and was heading back.
I remember.
So now I had to prove myself. He had me call four people that were in his inner circle and ask their forgiveness that I had left him, and to make sure that I could prove to them that I was committed and that I wasn't going to leave him again. That's the kind of brainwashing. And I happily called them, I'm coming back, and I just want you to know, like, he's my top priority, and, you know, please forgive me that I made this massive mistake. And oh my God, oh my dear Lord, I really want the listeners to hear this. I'm not ashamed of any of this. The fact is, I am a human being. Human beings are animals, and we are given the gift by whatever creator you believe in of community and connection and love and the desire to procreate and the desire to be connected and love and be with someone that makes us even closer to our connection with whatever God you believe in. So the fact that I wanted love that much, that I, when I saw something that, like you said, it was so hard and fast. It was like, oh my God, nobody's ever loved me like this. This is awesome. This is what I've been looking for. Yay. So, but I feel like it's just proof positive evidence that I'm a human being and I have feelings, and that I just want to love. I want to be love. I want to be loved. Mm-hmm. And I'm not ashamed of that.
We'll find some of Cammie's key success strategies. And first, I found that many women have a hard time asking for what they want, and they have an even harder time knowing what to ask for. That's why I created a guidebook, How to Confidently Ask for What You Want, and it's yours free. Simply go to www.thelovesindnetwork.com/gift. Start your collection of gifts, as I will be offering different ones throughout this podcast. Get your copy now. It's been a major life changer for many of my clients who've learned to ask for what's important to them, including asking for the sale. And we're back with Cammie Baker, America's authority on business development through social responsibility. As human beings, we're meant for connection, but we're meant to be treated with kindness.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the baseline. You're meant to be treated with kindness, and it starts by being kind to yourself, and that, you know, setting those boundaries to keep you, to honor yourself, which is, you know, one of the many pillars of the 11 pillars that I work with for women on this. And it's so important that we remember that. But how easy it is, it doesn't matter how smart you are, it doesn't matter how rich you are, it doesn't matter anything, how easy it is that we can get sucked into these kinds of relationships. But then again, you learned a lot about yourself. And I remember when you were driving down, and I remember suggesting to you that the way you're going to be healthy through this is no contact. As easy as that sounds, it's very difficult. And you went back that one time, and then we talked again, and then you realize that no contact really is the only way, because they are these vampires that will suck the life out of you.
And they will make you feel guilty and like it's all your fault. It's just crazy, 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 crazy.
So how about share with us, because this has been a journey, and I like that you talked about the shame, because there's a lot of, we can get into the shames and the shouldas and everything else. And it's a journey to go into self-forgiveness and self-compassion and self-kindness. What was your journey?
Learning to trust your judgment again.
Learning to trust your judgment. These are all the same. These are all part of those 11 things that I go through. It's like learning to trust your judgment again. What was your journey on that you can share?
Well, let me share how I learned to forgive myself. I went back, and in that first 28 days, when I was seeing signs of the jealousy and the insecurity and the possessiveness, he would say, I promise you, when you're here, when I know you're here and you're mine and my true love is with me, it won't be like that. But the fact is it got worse and worse and worse. And I could tell you horror stories about it. And I'll just say he never hit me. And he promised that he never had hit a woman. But there were a couple of times that I was quite fearful. And he would not let me leave the room. So if we were having a conversation, an argument, I was not allowed to leave the room. Even if I just wanted to go take a drive, I couldn't leave the room. If I went to the bathroom, I had to tell him, so-and-so, I'm going to the bathroom. I will be right back. I'm not leaving the conversation. So it just kept getting worse and worse. And I thought, as much as he's sucking the life out of me now, if I let him sell his businesses and buy this RV with my credit, I'll never be able to get rid of this. There came a weekend that I knew that it was going to be easy for me to get away. We lived in a little cabin in the back of the lot where his business was, and people coming and going and getting money and trucks. And I didn't have 10 minutes by myself. The only person that I had any type of sanity with was every week we went and got a massage. This woman had been his masseuse for 10 years. She knew him through numerous relationships. And every week I'd have an hour with her while he waited outside the door and vice versa. And that 1 hour, she would say things like, you know, I've seen him do this before. Does he give you any money for all the work that you do? Do you have any contacts back home? Could you leave if you wanted to? Like, we would have that kind of conversation. And so this weekend that I knew that I could leave, I actually sent her a text and I said, hey, what's going on? And she responded back, hey, I'm good. What can I do? I said, can you help me? She said, what can I do for you? And I said, I need a ride to my car. I'm leaving him. She didn't respond and I never heard from her again because he owned her too. And she didn't dare cross that line. So she just didn't even respond.
Right.
I grabbed the truck keys and I told the other employee that I was going to go out and take a break. And I got in his truck and I'm thinking, let go and let God, let go and let God. It'll all work out. I'm just praying all the way back. My heart's just racing out of my chest. You know, I didn't want to pass somebody else. And I get back and I grab as much stuff as I can physically cram into that car. And when I got as far away that I knew I wouldn't pass anybody that we knew, I got a hotel room and I sent a text to the woman that I had left in charge. And I said, I'm sorry I left you in the lurch. Let so-and-so know the keys are in the kitchen. Because I didn't want to think that I stole it or that right. I wrecked it. And I said it was the only way that I knew I could escape.
Yeah.
And that's been the word I've used ever since. And this was right before Thanksgiving that year. And on Thanksgiving night, we texted back and forth all the guilt. Why did you do that? He's saying to me, why did you do this to us? You tore us apart.
Right.
You know, you. And then the one time that we did talk on the phone, it was 2:00 in the morning on a Saturday night. And he's just going on and on. And I said, look, I'm not there and I'm not coming back. So what's the point in this conversation? I said, do you want me to come back? Yes, I want you to come back, Angel. And I want you to prove to me that this is 1,000% the most important thing to you. So once again, I was going to have to prove to him how important he was to me. And long story short, I sent him an email and I said, look, I'm heading back to Boston where people trust me and like me and respect me and are holding out a banner celebrating Cammie's coming home. And you want me to turn around and go back to this podunk town where I've been proving myself to a bunch of people who've never trusted me from day one and be back in that situation? No, I'm good. I'm done. I left and I've never talked to him again.
Beautiful. Well, congratulations. It takes a lot of courage, doesn't it? It takes a lot of courage. And it just shows how quickly it can happen. In my case, it was a lot longer, you know, 25 years. Yours. So I want to just, you know, give you kudos for taking that action so quickly, because a lot of women can't do that. So that just shows how strong you were, how strong you are. And you is like you had, you know, probably listening to me and listening to the massage therapist and everybody else, just like little things kind of poking holes in your own intelligence. Because when they recreate your reality, then it's like, oh, you start to doubt yourself.
There were so many things that I could see coming. I could see him wanting me to have sex with other people with him and for him. I thought, I can feel myself getting further and further away from the friends and the people that I do have and the support that I do have. Mm-hmm. And I thought, if I wait another 6 months, I'm not going to have my own mind.
Yes. So true.
Maybe he did do that. Oh, am I crazy? He was in a 20-year marriage. I've only been in, the longest relationship I've had has been 5 years. He was with the woman for 20 years. Maybe he does know how relationships go. Maybe this isn't the way a relationship is supposed to be. Maybe I am the one that's crazy.
Exactly. That is just the classical pattern of somebody who's a narcissist, who's abusing, who's controlling, who's demeaning you, which is what you describe as gaslighting, where they make you doubt yourself. They say it's one thing and you think it's something else. These are all classic symptoms. But you rose up, right? You rose up. You put your big girl panties on. And what would you do differently now when you're in a new relationship or even you're dating? And when dating, what things are you going to approach differently now because of this experience?
Well, there's a guy that I'm dating currently who has said just about verbatim, Cammie, you have no problem telling me what you will and won't do. Like, you have no problem setting boundaries has been his exact words. And I said, yay.
Exactly. That's what I do with my guy.
So glad to hear that.
Right.
I would like to share a couple of the beautiful pearls of wisdom that I've gotten from this and things that I've learned about myself and about all this. Because I believe that as long as you learn something, nothing's a failure, nothing's a waste of time, nothing is a bad experience if you learn and grow from it, right? That's all we're here for, is to learn and grow at the end of the day. Before this happened, I was such a tough, independent, take no prisoners kind of person. If a woman or a man, because this can happen to a man too.
Right.
But if a woman were to say to me, oh, I can't go to that networking event with you. He won't like that, or whatever. I would say, girl, you put your big girl panties on. You tell him you're coming. You don't worry about what he has. But having been in that situation, I know what it's like to not even be able to go to the, I told him one day, I used to just go to Panera's and I would just sit at Panera's with my computer and make calls and watch videos for 3 or 4 hours. He said, yeah, well, I used to go to the bar and pick up women and get laid, but I guess we just don't do what we used to do. In other words, he was saying to me, well, you want to go to the coffee shop, just know what I'm going to be doing too. So he never said I couldn't. Just gave me the consequences of what I was going to do. Number one, I have way more compassion for people now. Mm-hmm. Now I can see the other side of the street. And I felt like a bird whose wings had been clipped. A big, beautiful, exotic bird that had always flown and ruled the jungle. And all of a sudden, I was in a cage.
Yeah.
And you don't realize what freedom feels like until you're used to being free and it's taken away. And so I remember one day when I was back, I was just riding in my car with the sunroof open and the music was loud and I was going to another networking event because I network a lot. I was so overwhelmed with gratitude. Wow, I get to be in my car right now. I get to be able to drive where I want, listen to what I want, go talk to whoever I want, not because I'm trying to sleep with them or whatever, but like I get the opportunity to go network. If you had somebody in your life that wouldn't let you do even get in the car and listen to your own music and drive around for 30 minutes, when you get that freedom back, you breathe it in and you love it and you really appreciate it.
You sure do. You absolutely do. In a healthy relationship, you can go wherever you want. You can do this. It doesn't mean you are disrespectful and like you're never going to tell them, but they're not going to say, oh, no, you can't. They're going to say, okay, I'll see you when you come back. That's a sign of a healthy relationship. What are healthy relationship characteristics? In a healthy relationship, they are supporting you in all your endeavors. They're saying, yeah, you go out with your friends. With my ex-husband and like with you, they create the isolation because they don't, if you are separated from your family and friends, you're in a weakened position. Right? You're in a weakened position, so it's easier for them to control you, to control your mind. And your mind does get rewired. And yours, you know, gets rewired, and we can rewire it back to make a better, bigger you. But these are the things that happen.
I drove all the way across the country, and I stopped in Chicago, and I stayed for a couple of nights at a woman's house. She was wonderful. And I remember at the time, like when I was talking to her and her boyfriend, and they were actually listening to me, I thought, wow, they actually care what I have to say.
Right. They're listening to you.
In just that 7 months, my voice had been so taken away. When we would go to the gym, I stopped looking at people. I started hanging my head and just looking down. Because if I even made eye contact with somebody passing us, I'd have to hear about it. How do you know them? Why are you looking at them? Where do you know them from? How could you know that person? So I just quit looking at people. And when I got back, I was popping pain pills, and I almost killed myself. And ultimately, Rosie, what happened was I was so distraught. I was so depressed. I was so suicidal that I finally, there was a time between Christmas and New Year's that year, 2017, that I said to myself, either kill yourself and be done with it, or put your big girl panties on, suck it up, and get on with life. And I chose the latter. And my first year back in doing what I do, I made $103,000. And for somebody who is broke, busted, torn down, and treated like that for that period of time, and it doesn't take long, but the way that I felt to be able to make that kind of a comeback that quickly, I really have to say, you know, I could have done better and I could have done this. No, that's pretty damn good. The fact that I lived through it is good.
Live through it, learn so much better now. I mean, you know yourself better now. You know what you will and will not accept now. The fact that you can express yourself, express your needs to this guy or whoever it is that you'll be dating, it's so easy to for us just to forget that our needs, our voice is just as important as theirs. And somebody who is in a healthy relationship, it's going to come naturally. If there are times when someone says you can't do this or you can't do that, when they use the word you can't, or they do these implied threats, like what he did, and to give you the consequence, these are all threats, right? These are all threats. This is another classic thing that they do. That's not a healthy relationship.
Here's one that I also want our listeners to hear. If there's something that you've asked them not to do and they continue to do it, that's a big red flag too. Whether it's patting your fanny in front of people or calling you a degrading name in front of someone, but when you drink, he was hands off the handlebars.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
And I would say, please don't do that. You're freaking me out. And he'd literally move it. He'd say, yeah, but the way this machine is made, it's not going to fall over. If they just laugh it off, continue to do it. And I want to share one more thing that I find so disturbing that he 2 weeks before I left, and I'd like to get your input on. So it's 2 weeks before I left him, and we were this one evening, and we were really getting along, and I was like, oh my God, I love this guy. Like, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to work it out. Like, maybe I'm crazy, whatever. And early in the night, he said under his breath, and I don't even know if he realized he said out loud, he said, I've got you. The first time I thought to myself, oh boy, sure do.
I got you.
He's got me. He got me. He loves me and he's got me. First time. About an hour later, a few more drinks in him, he said it again. He said, I've got you. Like, just asked. And the second time I thought, he's got me. Like, what? How does he have me? He does have me. Why is he saying that? Mm. And later on in the night, there was a third time in that one night, and I don't even know if he remembers saying it, but he said, I've got you. And I thought, holy shit.
Yeah.
He's got me. I got to do something about this. Oh my God, he's got me, was a really paramount moment for me.
And that's good. Probably all these little voices that were coming to you before. And then when he said it the way he said it, it's creepy. It's really creepy. And the first time it was like, oh, he's got me and I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to be taken care of. And oh, that's sweet. But then it's like, I got you. I got you under my thumb. I got you under my control. I'm the winner here. And I'm going to do whatever I want with you because that's what was happening anyway. Then there was that thread, that little thread in you that was still could see the light and said, not this woman. I'm, you know, and that little thread saved you. It said, Cammie Baker, she deserves to be Cammie Baker 100%. Congratulations.
Thank you for being there for me when I needed some support, when I didn't know who I was, and when I needed a voice of reason. Anyone who's watching or listening to this, if any of this resonates with you at all, reach out to Rosie because you need to have that thin thread. Rosie can be that thread for you.
Thank you. I'm really glad. Well, it's just, you know, to show that anybody, it can happen to anybody, but also we can get out of it and we can create a life that we deserve. We can create a productive, joyful, prosperous life that we deserve. And you have shown that fully. So before we end, tell our listeners how they can get a hold of you. If they're an entrepreneur or a businesswoman, businessman who wants to get some more information.
Well, you know, a good author always has their book with them. So my book, Mingle to Millions, I talk about this because the book was written before this happened. But the next book, which I will title, It's Okay to Tell It If It's the Truth, will have this story in it. But please feel free to reach out to me, cammiebaker.com. You can find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, just about anywhere. And if you're an entrepreneur, business owner, in sales, you want to show up as a contribution to the world. I've called it purpose leverage money.
And the final question I ask all my guests is, what does love is kind mean to you?
You know, love is kind means to me that when I meet someone, just kind of staying on this topic of relationship like this, love is kind means that the man that I'm going to partner with is kind in the way that he talks to me, in the way that he touches me, in the way that we converse with one another, in his attitude about my business, my clients, my speaking, my travel. I really watch for that. I sometimes I feel like I can't always trust myself because I am human and I do want to be loved and I can be very impetuous, but I watch and the man that I'm meeting now knows and he sees me watching and while I'm watching, I'm like, not trying to find it in you, but I'm always cognizant. Are you being kind? Are you giving me the space I need to grow? And are you as much of a teacher, student of mine? And can we be kind and leave together one above the other? Always be side by side.
Side by side, being kind together. Yeah, that's beautiful. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for your time, for being vulnerable on this podcast, because it's going to help so many. And now we see you went from vulnerable to valuable fabulously. Thank you, Cammie.
Thank you. Thank you.
We started this episode talking about love bombing, and you can see how important it was and what happened to Cammie. To really grow, she had to really know what her values were and listen to her intuition, to trust her judgment and decisions. It's easy to get sucked into all the charm, chocolate-covered narcissism. Maybe that's a good way to see it, right? Rose-colored narcissism. When you don't listen to your intuition and you don't have strong values. I hope this podcast has been inspiring to you, and we would really appreciate it if you would give us a 5-star rating and a short review. This was going to help us reach our goal of touching 100 million women worldwide who have been impacted by narcissism and domestic abuse so they too can create the life they deserve. And stay on for next week. We have a really awesome guest, the amazing Alana Pratt. She's an international intimacy coach. You won't want to miss her insights, so you too can take them and apply them to create a deeply intuned self view of your life. Into me, I see. She's fabulous, and I can't wait for you to hear it because I am inspired every single moment. All right, take care. That's it for today's episode. Remember to head on over to vulnerabletovaluable.com to subscribe to the show. When you do, you'll receive a special guidebook covering all the 11 freedom fulfillment pillars, plus access to all the notes, links with more free gifts, and be in the know about upcoming podcasts. This guidebook is a path that I followed and teach my clients to reclaim their freedom to be 100% you, so you can create the productive, prosperous, and joyful life that you deserve. That's it for today's episode. Head on over to vulnerabletovaluable.com and subscribe to the show. When you subscribe, you'll instantly get a special ebook, Ask Confidently for What You Want. And when you subscribe to the show and post a review to iTunes, you'll be entered into a drawing to win a free consult with me. Plus, your subscribing will help our mission to inspire 100 million women worldwide to heal and move forward from their abusive relationships. That's vulnerabletovaluable.com, the podcast that guides you to reclaim your voice, value, confidence, and courage.